Okay, good evening to everybody. Sorry we had a 2-week break. I hope it wasn't too bad. Obviously it was out of my control in many ways, but it's wonderful to see everybody again. If I'm not mistaken, but somebody will correct me if I am mistaken, because you're much more on top of everything. I have too many things being juggled. I think that we finished. We did the introduction to the second half of Yeshayahu and the whole question of authorship and one Yeshayahu, two Yeshayahus. And we did Perek Mem, we did the first chapter of the second half. Am I correct in that? Correct? I think we're up to chapter 41 of Sefer Yeshayahu. Am I correct in that? If someone can just...
Yes.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Okay, great. Okay, so tonight we're going to do... chapter 41, and if we have time, maybe we'll at least begin and touch the surface of chapter 42. So let me first get my text up and running. So let's get our text. Get my text. Sefer Yeshayahu, chapter 41. So let me now do this, Zoom, and share my screen. Okay, so if we go back for a second and we think about what we studied in chapter 40. So if we go back for a second and look at chapter 40, which was the beginning of this, chapter 40, after the initial consolation that the prophet gave the people, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, Kol Korei Bamidbar, that God's Kol Gei Naseh, every valley will be made high, V'chol Har V'giva Yishpalu, and every mountain will be laid low, in order to lead a path and make a nice, even keeled path for those who want to return. V'nigla kvod Adonai. So after this beautiful introduction, the second half of the, and God speaks about the return of the Jewish people, that they're all going to come back to the land of Israel, Mivaseret Zion, go up on the mountain, Harimi Yakoch Kolech, Mivaseret Yerushalayim, the heralder, and say, Hine Elokechem, God is coming, Hine Adonai b'chazak yavo, he's going to come with strength, he's going to return you, he's going to gather all the animals together and lead them. Yikabetz kiroe edro yireh bizroo, yikabetz tla'im u'b'cheiko yisa alot yinahel. So after this initial, these initial verses of consolation, God went into theology. And the theology of the second half of this chapter, of chapter 40, was all about creation. Who was there? Mimadad b'shalo mayim v'shamayim bazeret. Who was able to, you know, work out and exactly set up? Mitikein et ruach Hashem. Who did God have to consult with? Etc., etc. God is, you know, the goyim are nothing. The gods of the goyim are nothing. The psalim are nothing. And this is all a peon to God. You have to trust that God is going to save you, because God is the one who runs the world. He runs the laws of nature. He created the world. He's the one who set up everything. There is no other power who can do this. Nobody could have done this. And God is the one, Hayoshev al Chug Haaretz. He's the one who sits on top of the universe, on top of the creation. Hanotein Rosnim La'ain Shofet Aretz Katohu. This is what God did. And therefore, God is the one who is going to control the destiny. And it ended with the statement that the Jewish people, who are rotting away in exile. Remember, the scene is a scene of the Jewish people, probably somewhere, if you situate it as we've tried to, somewhere between the time of Churban HaBayit in 586 and the Koresh declaration of 538. So somewhere at the time when the Persians are starting to make moves in the Middle East, 550, we know from external biblical sources, around 550, there starts to be battles, Persia starts to emerge, and by 538, they're able to destroy the Babylonian Empire. So if this is when we're talking, at this time, the Jewish people in Bavel are in exile. And theologically, you have to think about it. What is their theological conclusion? Their theological conclusion is God allowed the enemy to enter the precincts of the temple, destroy the temple, exile the people, destroy the Melucha, the chain of royalty. And so God is trying to reinvigorate them and say, understand, no, don't fall into the trap of believing that Marduk, the god of the Babylonians, or any other of the gods that they are confronting living in Babylonian society are the ones that are running the show. And don't fall into the theological statement, Lama tomar Yaakov utidaber Yisrael, nistera darki me Hashem, umelohei mishpati yavor. And don't go into the trap that God has abandoned you. Halo yadata im lo shamata Elohe olam Hashem borei ketzot haaretz, God who created the world, lo yi'af velo yiga. Even though right now it seems like God has abandoned you, God is not gone on vacation. Notein la ya'ef koach, he gives strength to the one who is weak. La'ein oni motzma rabba yarbeh. V'yi'afu ne'arim v'yigau. Yes. Usually, even children, even teenagers, at some point get tired. U'bachurim kashol yikashelu. And young men, they sometimes stumble. But those who trust in the Lord, v'kovei Hashem yachalifu koach, will always have strength. Ya'alu ever kanisharim, yarutzu v'lo yigau, yelchu v'lo yi'afu. That's how the prophecy ended, on a note of hope. But again, the connecting theme throughout chapter 40, in terms of was the power of God as the Borei, right? Who was there? Mimadad b'shalomayim v'shamayim bazeret. Who can measure? Who was there to measure like God did? Mitikein et ruach Hashem. Who was able to do all these things? Okay. It was only God. God is the only one, not the psalim. Ve'almi tidamyuni. How can you compare me to other powers in the world? And only God is the one who controls the nature and controls the world. He's the one who's going to be able to do this. And remember that. We get to chapter 42, and there's a subtle move. There's a subtle move. Now, again, I want to keep, this is an important point in Nevuot and Nevi'im, especially in the book of Isaiah and Yechezkel and other parts. Nevuot, Nevuah, and certainly when they were committed to writing, they're not written linearly. I don't know. I'm mispronouncing it. Linearly. It's not like, okay, one chapter leads to another chapter, leads to another chapter. It's more like concentric, they come back to themes over and over again, which is probably because these nevuah were not given on one day or in one week in a seminar. They were probably given over a series of months, maybe years. And in the final editing, the editor brought together nevuot, connected them with the fact that many of them have similar themes. Some of them play off other themes. There's literary connections. There's ideas that seem to be similar, but also different. And so he put them together. But the fact that you have Nevuot of great hope, and then a couple of prakim later, you have Nevuot of Tochacha, of great reproof, and then followed by great hope, followed by, it's because it's all, you know, like rabbis. You know, anybody that's been in a shul long enough knows right? That over the course of 15 to 20 years, rabbis are going to always come back to certain themes that are very central to their theology or to their philosophy or their perspective. And the same thing is true with Nevi'im. And so the fact that we're going to see similar ideas and similar language, sometimes with a twist, sometimes without a twist, is just something that we should be ready for. Okay? So we now start with, on one level, a new introduction, a new theme, which we are going to see over and over again. And that's the theme of Eved Hashem. Hein avdi etmoch bo bechiri ratzta nafshi natati ruach alav mishpat lagoyim. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped to 42. I'm sorry. Sorry. 41. I got ahead of myself. Okay. So as I said, the last words of chapter 40 ended with this theme of those who trust in the Lord will have strength and they will be stronger and they'll never get tired. Yarutzu velo yigau, yelchu velo yafu. We come to chapter 41, and this time God is not speaking to the Jewish people, but he speaks to the nations of the world. And he basically calls them to come, but not to come back from exile like the Jews, but to come to a court, to come to judge, to be judged and to hear the judgment. And so he says, Hacharishu, be silent. Iyim ule'umim. Iyim in Tanakh, islands, is always a kind of code word for the farthest, you know, reaches of humanity. So be silent. Ule'umim yachalifu koach. And don't worry. Notice that's the connective tissue. Chapter 40 ended with those who trust in God will always, kovei Hashem yachalifu koach. So the final editor probably felt, oh, this nevuah begins with a similar theme, but it's about the goyim. God says, I'm going to give you strength to make it. If you live in Timbuktu, or you live in Indonesia, in the farthest islands of humanity, you will get strength. Harishu elai iyim ulumim yachalifu koach. And the nations, they'll have strength. I'm going to give you strength to make it to the High Court of Justice. I'm going to make you. Yikshu. And when you come, and the word lageshet in Tanakh often has a mishpat connotation. For example, if you look in the book of Devarim, and we look in Parshat Ki Teitze, I don't know why it's this weird thing. I don't want this weird thing. I just want regular Tanakh im Nikud. So if you look in Devarim, chapter 25, so when the Bible discusses towards the end, so where is it? Vinikshu el hamishpat. They'll come to the mishpat. I think that's the language that's used often. Well, I thought it was, yes. Kiyer riv bein anashim, when people have a dispute. Vinigshu el hamishpat ushfatum. And they're going to come to the mishpat and they'll be judged. And so here too, we have, when we come back, here too. So God gathers them together and yigshu, az yidaberu. Then they can talk. For now, be silent. Put on your overcoat and get to the judgment. Yikshu azidaber yachdav la mishpat nikrava. Come close to be judged. And what's the judgment about? The judgment is about who is the real God, who's the real God, and who's the real God and who's not the real God. And God starts saying. And here there's at least three interpretations. Mi heir mi mizrach tzedek yikra'eu l'raglo. Who is the God? Who was the one who was mit orer, heir, who woke up and brought from the east with tzedek, with justice, with righteousness. Who is the one who brought this person here? Yitein lefanav goyim u'malachim, and gave him dominion over all. Now, one interpretation is that this is a reference to Abraham. Abraham in the past was led by God. He was brought from the east, and he dominated the Middle East. And he dominated, meaning, if you remember from a few weeks parshas ago, chapter 14, Abraham destroyed and conquered all of the four kings that dominated the five kings. And so if Abraham dominated the four kings, and the five kings were indebted to him, ultimately Abraham was the king of the world, of the Middle East at that time. So Mi'eir Mimizrach Tzedek, that's one way to read this story. The other way to read the story is, and this is, I think, the more cogent reading, given everything that we've said so far, is that it's talking about Koresh, it's talking about Cyrus. You hear about in the news that there's, you know, you hear it, oh, in the Far East, there are skirmishes going on and Persia is starting to attack Babylonian garrisons. Who do you think is behind that? You think it's just Stam? No, Mi'eir Mimizrach Tzedek. Who started to arouse in the east? And the word tzedek here doesn't mean like tzedakah. Tzedek here means with injustice, meaning correctly. Mi'eir Mimizrach Tzedek, and tzedek also in Tanakh means with victory. Who's the one who is going to and is causing these victories? Yitein lefanav goyim u'malachim, yard yitein ke'afar charbo, ke'kashni dav kashto. Either. Who is the one that God, who is God, obviously the answer is, who is given that he has, his cherev is as numerous as the afar, ke'kashni dav kashto, and his keshet, his bows, is so numerous like the kash, like the straw. That's one way to interpret it. Or, yitein ke'afar charbo. He's able, through his cherev, to transform the enemy into afar, to destroy them. Yir defame. He is successful. He chases them. Ya'avor. And he's able to pass bishalom, in peace. Orech beraglav lo yavo. Nobody stops him. Who do you think did all this? Mi pa'al ve'asa. Korei hadorot me'rosh. The person, i.e. the God, who was able to predict the future. Trust me, basically, God says, and this is going to be a recurring theme in the book of Isaiah. God is not, in this part of Isaiah, God is not only the God of nature, chapter 40. God is not only the God of creation. God is the God of history. And I can prove it to you, because God is Korei Hadorot Merosh. He is the one who has predicted the generations in advance. God sent Nevi'im, and they have been proven right. God sent Nevi'im to the Jewish people and told them to do Teshuvah and keep the covenant, otherwise Assyria would get more and more powerful, and ultimately destroy and exile Assyria. And that's exactly what happened. God was the one, through the prophet Yirmiyahu and others, who told the Jews that if you don't keep the covenant, etc., God is going to bring Babylonia and destroy, and that's exactly what happened. God is the Korei Hadorot Merosh. Anyone who's ever been in Israel knows that there's a very famous street called Korei Hadorot in Talpiot. It's right near where Agnon used to live, in Talpiot, the Korei Hadorot street. So Korei Hadorot Merosh, Ani Hashem Rishon Vetachronim Anihu. I'm the God who was there at the beginning of history, and I'm the one who's going to be at the end of history. Ra'u Iyim V'Yirau. Nice little play on words, which appears throughout Tanakh. The play on the Shoresh, Resh, Aleph, Hey, and the Shoresh, Yud, Resh, Aleph, fear and seeing. Ra'u Iyim V'Yirau. The nations from even the most distant places saw, and they are fearful. Kitzot ha'aretz yecheradu. Karvu v'yetayun. Come, and you will see. Come. And what do the nations, as they come in this imagery, what do they think is going to help them? They think what's going to help them is if they make a pact together. Ish et re'ehu ya'azoru, ul'achiv yomar chazak. I think there's actually a song with these words. It's like a popular Jewish song. This is another example of popular Jewish songs being taken from psukim that are actually very negative. This is talking about the goyim who are coming to be judged by God, and they think that they can get around it by giving each other chizuk. Ishet re'eu yazoru. They're going to help each other. Ul'achiv yomar chazak. And how are they going to do it? Again, the play. They're going to say, be strong. And how are you going to strengthen each other? Vayichazek charash et tzoreif, machlik patish et holeim pa'am, omer ladevek tovhu, vayichazkehu b'masmerim lo yimot. How do they strengthen each other? Nice little play on words. They don't just say, you know, chazak chazak v'nit chazek, but what do? Vayichazek charash et tzoreif. The one who is a choresh, the smith who makes the idols, he gives strength, and he encourages the tzoreif, the one who molts down the silver. Machlif patish et holeim pa'am, the one who strikes the anvil. So they say, oh, let's make more idols. Let's make more idols and better idols and stronger idols. Omer ladevek tovhu. He says, let's put them together in a good fashion. Vayichazkehu b'masmerim lo yimot. We're going to fasten them together with nails. In modern Hebrew, masmerim is nails. I don't know if it's nails, but some sort of hooks. We're going to make these idols really strong. That's how they think. Let's build more idols. That's what's going to protect us from the judgment of God. But in contrast, God says, you guys, Ve'ata Yisrael Avdi. This is the first time in the book that Israel is called Avdi. We are going to see four or five chapters in this section of Yeshayahu where God speaks to the servant. Now here it's explicit that it refers to all of Israel. But there are going to be other passages where it's going to be much more vague. And then the question, of course, becomes, when the Bible and when the Navi talks about my servant, is he assuming that you know chapter 41, where Avdi was associated with Israel, V'ata Yisrael Avdi, Yaakov Asher Becharticha, Zera Avraham Ohavi. So he's talking about Am Yisrael, Yaakov and Yisrael. Is that what he's talking about? Or in later passages, when he talks about Eved Hashem, is he talking about a specific person? Is it Koresh? Is it Am Yisrael? Is it the Mashiach? And of course, that's exactly what leads to the Christological readings of chapter 53, the suffering servant. Well, oh, it's talking about a messianic figure. So it's a messianic figure. Who could it be better than our Messiah, etc.? So this is a fascinating thing. So in contrast to the Goyim, and it's also, if you think about it theologically, who's supposed to give chizuk to who? The tzlamim, the tzelem, the idol is supposed to, so to speak, give chizuk to human beings. But here it's just the opposite. They are the ones who have to give chizuk, so to speak, to the idols. If you think about it, you know, this is the famous statement of Kaufman that, you know, monotheism believes that man was created in God's image. B'tzelem Elokim bara oto, as opposed to idolatry, paganism believes that the God was created in the image of man, right? That's why the gods have emotion, the gods have needs, the gods eat, they drink, they have sex, they hate, they love, they fight. So it's God in the image of man as opposed to man in the image of God. So, but in contrast, In contrast to the goyim, the ata Yisrael avdi, you are my servant. It's not that the idols serve man, but you, Am Yisrael, are my servant. And not only you're asher b'charticha, that I chose you. Zera Avram Ohavi, that I loved you. You are the descendants of Abraham who I loved. That's one of the reasons why some of the Parshanim talk about Mi He'ir Mizrach Tzedek. It's Abraham. Also because Abraham is often associated with Tzedakah Mishpat. But in contrast to the Goyim who have to be Mechazek, the idols, Asher Hechezakticha. I held you and protected you, Miktzota Aretz, Umeatzilea Kiraticha, and I called you from the ends of the earth. V'omar lecha avdiata bicharticha v'lo me'asticha. I didn't reject you. What you said at the end of chapter 40, that God abandoned us. No, God didn't abandon us. Notice the language here. Hechzakticha, kiraticha, bicharticha, me'asticha. All these languages are languages of closeness. And of course, you have all the language of choosing bicharticha, Ohavi, you're my beloved. This is all language of belovedness. Asher hechzik, there's actually 10 of these, bicharticha, hechzakticha, all these languages are very, very intense here. Okay? And of course, if you think about the language of me'asticha, again, if one assumes that this is being said to the Jews in 550 BCE, 560 BCE in Bavel, after they have gone into exile and already living for a number of years, decades in Bavel. So remember, this language of Me'asticha is the concluding coda of the book of Eicha, the book that describes the destruction of the temple just a few decades before. So if we go back and we go back to the book of Eicha, which was written by Yirmiyahu and is associated, and it's clear it's discussing. So if you look at the very end of the book of Eicha, the conclusion of Eicha, it says, Lama lanetzach tishkachenu tazvenu laorech yamim hashivenu shemelach minashuv achadishvenu kedem ki im maos meastanu katzavta aleinu ad maod. You have rejected us. Maos meastanu. That is the final statement of the Navi about the tchusha of what the people felt, the elegy as they look on Har Tzion Sheshameim. And so now, when we come here to Isaiah speaking to the Jews in either in Eretz Yisrael or in Bavel or both, and so when he says, I am the Lord, you are my servant, I haven't abandoned you. Ata Yisrael avdi Yaakov asher b'charticha. Zera Avram ohavi, I love you. Asher hechzakticha. Miktzot ha'aretz. I've held you and protected you and grabbed you from all the corners of the earth. U'me'atziah kiraticha. I've called you. In contrast to the goyim who I've called to be judged, I've called you to be come back. Va'omar lecha avdi ata u'b'charticha v'lo me'asticha. Al tira. Don't be afraid. And remember, he's talking to Yaakov, Yisrael and Yaakov. The phrase Al Tira is often associated with Yaakov. Al Tira Avdi Yaakov, right? There's even a piyut that said on Motzei Shabbos. Al Tira Avdi Yaakov is a constant refrain. Al Tira Ki Imcha Ani. I'm with you. Al Tishta Ki Ani Elokecha. Don't get frightened because I am your God. Imatzticha Af Azarticha Af Tmachticha Bimin Tzidki. I have helped you. Instead of the goyim who say ish et re'ehu ya'azoru ulachiv yomar chazak, you have God coming to help you. Af azarticha. You have Hashem coming to support you. Af tmachticha. Biyamin sidki. Through my hand, my right hand of justice, or my right hand sidki also means, as I said, nitzachon. Biyamin sidki. With my hand of success. Hen yevoshu v'yikalmu. Kol anecharim bach. All those who challenge you, who attack you, they will ultimately be embarrassed. Yuchain v'yovedu anshei rivecha. The people who take issue with you, they'll disappear. Ultimately, they are the ones who will disappear in this context. And again, it's interesting. Anshei rivecha, again, is a play, connects us back to, as I mentioned, Kier Riv Bein Anashim. God called the nations of the world who had attacked to come, who thought that, you know, their gods are more powerful than God. He called them to justice. He called them to a Riv. And Anshei Rivecha are all those nations of the world. Tivakshem Velotim Tzaim, Anshei Matsutecha, those who wanted to harm you. Yuchain v'cheefes anshei milchamtecha. They will be as naught. They will be like naught. They will be like nothing. Ki ani Hashem elokecha machazik yeminecha haomer lecha al tira ani azarticha. So al tira asher hech zakticha. I'm the one who held on to you, af azarticha. It ends off with the same verbs. Ki ani Hashem lokecha, machazik yeminecha. I'm holding on to your right hand. Ha'omer lecha al tira, ani azarticha. In contrast to the nations who are saying to each other, ya'azoru, and say to their, and need to be mechazek, their idols. Vayechazek charash et tzoreif. A nice contrast. God, however, is supporting the Jewish people. In this, he continues. And again, were these various little nevuot said at the same time? Or were they said in different weeks? I don't know. But there's connective tissue. Here it had the two al-tira, and ended with al-tira, a nice literary envelope. Altira, altira. Now we continue. Altir e tolat Yaakov, mite Yisrael. Don't be afraid, the worm of Jacob, mite Yisrael. Ani azarticha. Again, connecting tissue. A few months later, did he use the same language? And so the editor said, oh, this is a perfect place to put it. All the azarticha nevuot. Ani azarticha neum Hashem v'goalech kedosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel. Again, I've said it a couple of times, I'll repeat it. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is the Navi that uses the term kedosh Yisrael more than any other prophet in Tanakh. It's a precursor to the rabbinic term for God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He. The biblical phrase is Kedosh Yisrael. It appears like 30 times in the book of Isaiah, and I think like 5 times else in the rest of Tanakh. And why is that so? I'll tell you why it's so. It's that the reason for it is very simple, and as I think I've said it before, say it again. The first encounter that Yeshayahu had with God, Bishnat Mota Melch Va'eret Adonai Yoshev Al Kisei Ram V'Nisa V'Shulav Melim Et Ha'Echal, Yeshayahu the first, Srafim Omdim Imalo, V'Kara Ze El Ze V'Yamar. What did he hear? Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzva'ot Melocha La'aretz Kvodo. Or as Rabbi Soloveitchik in Lonely Man of Faith translated, transcendent, transcendent, transcendent. Melocha La'aretz Kvodo, God is also intimate, imminent in the world. He's transcendent, 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 but he's also imminent in the world. So his experience of God for the first time was an experience of He saw God as a king, distant, transcendent, all powerful, more powerful than the Assyrian kings, more powerful than any other power in the Middle East and beyond. And so the experience that Yeshayahu, the term that he constantly uses for God, is the God of Kedosh Yisrael, the God of nature and the God of history, the God who is all powerful. So Al Tir'i Tolat Yaakov Umetei Yisrael Ni Azartich Num Hashem Ego Alech, your Redeemer. Hine Samtich Lemoreg Charutz Chadash Bal Pipiot Tadush Harim. You're gonna destroy V'Tadok Ugvaot Kamotz Tasim Tizreim V'Ruach Tisaim U'Se'arat Tafitzotam Ve'Ata Tagil Ba'Adunai B'Kedosh Yisrael Titalal. Once again, literary envelope, Goalech Kedosh Yisrael, and it ends with P'Kedosh Yisrael Titalal. Okay, now we come to the next little mini nevuah in this parak. And this little mini nevuah speaks of, again, and is probably referring to the Jews who went into exile. If you remember many of the descriptions in the book of Eicha and the book of Yirmiyahu, they were terrible descriptions of the suffering. And it goes back to that time, and it speaks of a reversal of that. Ha'aniyim v'ha'evyonim mivakshim mayim. They're going into exile, and they are oppressed, and they ask for water. V'ein, v'ayin, there is no water. L'shonam b'tzama nashata. Their tongues are parched with thirst. Ani Hashem e'anem. Elohei Yisrael lo e'azveim, but I will not abandon them. Yes, they suffered, etc., and they went into galut, but I will answer them. It's a play on the words e'anem and aniim. Eftach al shvayim naharot, I will ultimately open up the tributaries of water. U'betoch bikaot mayanot, and in the little valleys and in the little clefts of the rocks, I will put cisterns and springs. Asim midbar la'agam mayim, the eretz tzia lemotzei mayim. I will turn the desert into water. And again, this is the reversal. The Jews who went into exile, they went and they were exiled to Babylonia. They had to cross the Syrian desert with it, without water and dying. God will restore them. He'll bring them back with water, and they'll in barren land they will find water. Etain bamidbar, and now it lists a list of seven different trees and vegetation. Etain bamidbar erez, shita, hadas, eitz shemen. Asim ba'arava, birosh, tidhar, ute'ashur, yachdav. He's going to put all these seven trees, and these are trees that require a lot of water. The hadas, we certainly know, hadasim need a lot of water. And I'm going to put them in the arava. Of course, this is the source of Dunash ibn Librat, of Duror Yikra, the great Jewish Paitan and Daktikan of Dunash, who wrote Duror Yikra, Hadas Shita Berosh Tidhar, Velamazir Velanizhar, Shalomim Taim Kimei Nahar, like paths of water. A number of people have noted there may be here an echo of Gan Eden, all these trees with a lot of water. Remember in Gan Eden, there are four rivers that are emerging from Gan Eden. And here, Pasuk Chaf may give the clue. Leman yir'u v'yed'u v'yasimu v'yaskilu yachdav. So that the Jews, when they see that history is being reversed, they're not going into exile, but rather they are coming back through the desert, and it's going to be a desert that's going to turn into flush with water and trees. Now this pasuk, a number of people point out, has echoes of Gan Eden. What am I referring to? Remember in Gan Eden. Gan Eden. So if we turn back in Tanakh and we turn back to Gan Eden, and right, Eden. So we turn back in Eden. So in Eden, you're not supposed to eat from the Eitz Hadaat. Eden is full of lush water. But the Bible tells us that she did eat. How did she eat? Verse 6. Vatere ha'isha, she saw, ki tov ha'etz l'ma'achal, v'chitavahu la'einayim, v'nechmad ha'etz l'haskil, v'tochal v'titein. So it's very interesting. The Eitz Hadat, the tree of knowledge, which God said not to eat from, she saw, she looked at it, and she, not only she saw it with the Einayim, v'nechmad ha'etz l'haskil. Haskalah. What's haskil? It's kind of nice play. The Eitz Hadat is nechmad l'haskil. It's a little cute, right? It's the tree of knowledge was very enticing to contemplate. Lahaskil. That's the literal translation of lahaskil. A maskil. Someone who contemplates and thinks and is. So, very interesting. And they eat from the tree and then they know stuff. So now when we come back here in describing, Yeshayahu is describing. Sorry, one more. Yeshayahu is describing in chapter 41, he's describing that the Jewish people are going to return from exile. And God is going to make the midbar lush. So this time, leman yiru, they'll see. But is it to see or to fear? It's a little, again, the double entendre of before. To see and fear. Leman yiru v'yedu. They'll know. It's the Eitz Hadaat. V'yasimu v'yaskilu. Isn't that interesting? It's nechmad ha'eitz l'haskil. And they'll understand. Ki yad Adonai astazot. It was God who brought them back and will bring them back. Ukidosh Yisrael bira'a, and it was the Holy One of Israel who created this change in history. It's also nice that it uses creation language, just in case it hits you over the head that you should go back to creation stories. God is the one, Kadosh Yisrael, he is the one. Kadosh Yisrael was the one who will bring you back. Kadosh Yisrael is the one who protects you, doesn't abandon you, and protects you and gives you sustenance in the desert and transforms the desert into Gan Eden. And now you can have knowledge because you have the right knowledge. You'll have the knowledge of God, the Yaskilu, and you'll understand. Ki yad Adonai astazot. And now, once again, as I keep saying, in the book of Isaiah, you flip-flop, ping-pong, ping-pong, ping-pong. Once again, God turns to the nations of the world. And he says to them, Kirvu rivchem, bring your arguments, Yomar Hashem. Hagishu atzumoteichem, bring your petitions, Yomar Melech Yaakov. Yagishu v'yagidu lanu. Okay, you want to prove that you're the real gods? So bring your receipts. Yagishu v'yagidu lanu et asher tikrena. Predict the future. Harishonot. Ma heina hagidu v'nasivu l'veinu v'neidach haritan. O haba'ot hashminu. Show us that your gods predicted the future and it took place, or predict what's going to come. In contrast to God, who did that already. You have Tanakh, which has a record of the Nevuot of Hosea and of Shmuel and of Yeshayahu and of Yirmiyahu. All these Nevuot for hundreds of years, God said this and this would happen, and it happened. if you don't do this and this and this. But God says, bring us. Hine, right? Harishonot Mahina. What happened? Hagidu, v'nasimu libeinu v'neidach ritan. O habaot hashmienu. Hagidu ha'utiot la'achor v'neidach ki Elohim atem. Let's see how powerful you are. Avtetivu v'tareo v'nishta'a v'nir'e yachtav. Let's see. Heinatem me'ayin. But you, everything you have is nothingness. Umipoalchem me'afa. It's nothing. To'ava yivchar bachem. You have chosen an abomination. And the Nevuah closes with language from the beginning. Mi he'ir mi mizrach. Who was the one who aroused the power from the east? Either a reference to Abraham, a reference to Koresh, which I think is the plain sense of the text. Who was the one who is arousing all these new battles that you hear that are going on in the east? It ends, Ha'iroti mitzafon. I am the one who has, once again, aroused the powers in the north. Vayat b'mizrach shemesh yikra b'shmi. V'yavoz zganim kemo chomer chomo yotzer yirmastit. Mi yigid meirosh. Who was the one who predicted this? V'neida, umilafanim, v'nomar tzadik. Who is the power in the world who has predicted the future events? And we've seen that he's tzadik. The word tzadik means, and it has turned out to be correct. In Tanakh, today we use the word tzadik to mean, but the word tzadik means correct or just or nachon. For example, in Tanakh, it says that the judges should judge fairly, v'hitzdiku et hatzadik, v'hirshu et harasha, which means they should find the innocent innocent, and they should find the guilty guilty. Offer the correct judgment. Af ein magid, af ein mashmi, af ein shomea imrechem. Who is the one? Rishon litzion hine hinam, v'lirushalayim mevaseretein. I am the one who is first, who's come to Zion, and I'm going to give a message to Yerushalayim. Ve'era ve'ein ish, u'me'ela ve'ein yo'etz, ve'eshalem v'yashivu davar. And I asked the goyim, and I saw they had nothing to say. Hein kulam aven efes ma'aseim. They are all wicked and nothing. Ruach v'tohu niskehem. Again, the word niskehem is one of those interesting words. Vato niskeim, everything that comes out of them, the libations, their offerings, whatever you want to translate here, everything that they do is vatohu, which again connects us to chapter 40, which also used similar language in describing the contrast between the nations of the world. Kol hagoyim ke'ayin negdo, vatohu nechshavulo. Their nothingness. God created the world. They still are in tohu. They still are in chaos and nothingness. Okay? And so that's how it ends, very similar to the previous chapter. Okay? So, Im Yirtz Hashem, next week, we will tackle chapter 42. We will continue. From chapter 40 through chapter 48, you have recurring themes. God playing what he's done for Am Yisrael off of what the Goyim can do, what the nations of the world can do, what the gods of the world. Is the God of history or the God of nature playing off of the ping pong, the God of history, the God of nature, the constant referring back to Briyat HaOlam, but also Yitziat Mitzrayim and a new Yitziat Mitzrayim. These are going to be the constant refrains that are going to come back and forth. And uncovering them is part of the fun part of learning these themes. The themes are very direct and clear, especially if you believe that this is talking about the Cyrus times and what's going on. I wish everybody a good week. And again, we have in mind, continuing to have in mind the hostages and everything that Am Yisrael is going through. And I wish everyone also everything good. And Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you.
Okay.